Well, greetings to all of you. There was a time that I did not think I'd be here again. I wasn't sure. But I'm so grateful. God has, and I look back, and I don't understand God all in everything, but I do believe God had a purpose in this. And I'm satisfied with that. I don't need to understand it. But he taught me. He really taught me through going through what I did. And hopefully I learned what he wanted me to learn. And also that my life has changed where he wanted to be changed. And so I'm just grateful to be here with you again and just to share of the love of God and who he is. And so another thing that we had just last week, we were up in the New England states on a tour, and just the creation of God. Oh, wow. The beauty of his creation. And of course, some other things that were exciting too. But on the way home, we were reminiscing about some things and different people shared. And all the blessings of being able to see God's creation and all that. But on the way home, God gave me a thought that was so great, that was so beautiful. But there was one thing that's even greater than that, and that's relationships. Establishing relationships. There was 50-some people on the bus. And just, we really did establish some real good relationships. And those last into eternity. That's wonderful. I just have to admit that was probably the greatest thing. All the others was great. But to be able to have relationships, establish relationships with people is an awesome thing. It's a God-given thing. And so, all right, enough of that. And I don't know how this fits in with communion, but I do believe it does in a way. It's what I felt God gave me, and it's been working on me for a while. And I want to just, I don't know, where's the clock? I don't want to take too much time here, but I would like to turn to, I had some other scriptures, maybe turn with me to Acts chapter 4 to start out. Acts chapter 4, I want to just read one verse, and it's verse 12 of chapter 4 in Acts. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's solid as it can be. And it's the only way. There is no other way. There is no other. People think today that they can get to God by some other means or some other way or by their own goodness or whatever. But there is none other name, and there is no other way. And then in Acts 13. Verse 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. And so there is no other way. And we all know that, and I know we know that, but we need to be reminded time and time again. It's this Jesus that we are about to commemorate, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and the authority and power of that. And then in chapter 15, and I don't know how to do this. It's almost too long to read, and maybe I'll just share out of it and not read much, but let you read it maybe later on. But here we had a situation where some people said that except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. And so they had this debate and this disputation among each other, and quite a disagreement, the way it sounds. Some said, no, it's Christ only, and some said, no, God has told us to keep the law. And I don't know how we would have, I don't know how I would have responded, having been used to what God had said in the past, and now we enter into a new dispensation where, is this really God? But when we can look back and we are convinced because we know Christ is the only way. But for them, this was a real, real issue. And what I want to bring out about this is that there was an answer. God had an answer. And I want to, my main focus this morning is truth. And how we can get distracted from truth. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And so here we are with all the things that were going on and the disagreements, and some thought one way and some thought another way. But God led them through this in such a way that they actually they went to the authorities of those days in the church. And they disputed this. What's right? It was quite a stir. Some in that meeting there, they were just sure this is not. We can't leave out what we were taught in the past. Others were convinced that God is bringing us into a new era of life. And so, here we are. In verse 5 it says, "But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to be circumcised them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." And then down in verse 7 it says, When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us." And so I guess what I want to bring out here, the enemy had a plan here. If the enemy would have had his way, there probably would be two different churches today, the Jewish church and the Gentile church. But he didn't get his way. Why didn't he? Because people heard from God, and people were willing to lay down what they thought because they believed that they heard from God. That's very important for us, church. How many times in my age I have seen split after split, and I'm not saying it was, God can use that too. He'll never lose. But it is important for us to hear from him in those times. It is important for us to know what God is saying. I'm just awed and really convicted that it is important that we don't just go our own way, that we lay down our attitudes. I don't know what all you're going through today or what y'all you've gone through, or it doesn't matter. It is important that we lay down our attitudes and allow God's attitude to take a hold of us and God's thoughts to penetrate our hearts. I guess this really struck me as I read it, that how many times is the issue gets so big and on both sides there's attitudes that God can't bless. But to lay down our own ideas and our own thoughts. God loves oneness. We can read that in Psalms. We can read that all throughout the Bible. God loves oneness. God loves when his people are in unity. And it is Christ that brings us into unity. It's nothing else. It's the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ that brings unity in a body. And so I just want to encourage us with that this morning. And then I want to also turn now to John chapter 5. Just read a verse there. Verse 24 in John chapter 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It is very important for us. And that's, again, Christ is the center and will be the center. And there is no other means of being saved. There's no other means of being free from condemnation. No other means. It's Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And but just to know, you know, when we're free, when Christ has made us free, it's much easier to be one. When there's some condemnation in our lives, it's hard to have unity together. Let's be free from condemnation. Let's allow Christ to set us free. As it says here, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And then in chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, I'm sorry, just 32 is and 33, actually. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And that truly is Jesus Christ. And I just, in commemorating all that he did for us, I was so blessed with the very first song that we sang about God. And just all that he is to us. Okay, John chapter 14. I don't even know why I'm sharing this, but God does. And I trust he can. It can be a benefit to us. John 14, verse 6 and 7. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so I think I'll just stop at that verse. And then back to 15, verse 15 through 17, or 19 actually. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. How important it is for us to walk in such a way and to obey the word in such a way that the Holy Spirit feels welcome to live in us. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. You want to be loved of the Father? Everyone does. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. What a love relationship that is. And going back to chapter 17, the longing of the heart of Jesus. And I don't know, I think I'll just break in here in verse 17 and read a few verses here. Sanctify them through thy truth. Jesus is praying here to the Father. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself. And that sanctify has the idea of to be made holy, and or set apart. For their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in them, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus Christ was so one with the Father, and his longing is for us to be one with the Father that way also. It's very important. In a body, you know, God has gives different gifts. We are all, not one person in here is the same. And we need each other. We desperately need each other. We're members one of another. We can't do without each other. And yet we try sometimes. A body can't do without its members. It can. I have a brother-in-law that lost an arm. He only has one arm. And I'm amazed at what he can do with one arm. He farms, he drives tractor, goes out in the field, he drives forklift, has a part-time job at a produce auction and drives forklift, and you just think, how can he do it? But God gives grace. But that is not the way God intended it. And sometimes we get careless, spiritually and materially. He got careless. They were chopping through the night, and he was tired, and he has diabetes, and he didn't. They think that he didn't have the right sugar level and wasn't really quite clear what he was doing. The chopper was clogged, and he wanted to open it up and somehow got his arm in. And so that's not what God wants. We cannot, and we're not meant to do without our members, and we're not meant to do without each other in the body of Christ. May God bless you.